Chapter 2. Another Enemy. Monsieur Villefort was another man who was planning to marry his fiancée soon. As the Crown Prosecutor, he wanted a wife who would help him become an important person in Marseille. Now that Napoleon was banished, people who had helped him become emperor, like Villefort's own father, were losing their jobs, homes, money and friends. Villefort hoped that no one would remember his father's interest in Napoleon, and he was clever enough to see that, from now on, only allies of the king would have power and make money. So, he had chosen as his fiancée Renée Saint-Mirren, who was beautiful and rich, and whose parents loved the king. He was at a dinner party at their large house in the most expensive part of Marseille when a letter was brought to him. He opened it at once and read it.
Aha!
He said.
This is serious. It seems there are still people who want to bring back the banished Emperor Napoleon.
Can that be possible?
Said several people in horror.
Yes. This letter tells me that a man called Edmond Dantès has visited the Emperor on Elba and has a letter for Napoleon's allies in Paris. The police have arrested him, and I must go to question him.
Poor young man,
cried René.
Don't be too hard on him.
I must do what is necessary, dear René, but I'll return soon.
And René gave him her sweetest smile as he went out. When he arrived at his office, he ordered the police to bring in their prisoner. As he questioned Dantès, he watched the young man's open, honest face and confident smile.
He can't be a criminal,
he thought.
Renée will be happy when she hears that I've released him.
He smiled kindly at Dantès.
You'll be free very soon, my friend,
he said.
I'll just look at the letter that you were carrying.
Thank you, monsieur. Here it is.
Villefort looked down at the envelope and went white with horror. It was addressed to Monsieur Noirtier, his father. He fell back in his chair.
Monsieur, are you ill?
Cried Dantès.
I'm asking the questions, not you,
said Villefort, trying to think fast.
Does anyone else know of this letter? Anyone at all?
No, monsieur, but what's the matter? Can I go now?
I'm afraid I must keep you a little longer. But first, I'm going to destroy this letter. Then no one can say you're the king's enemy.
He threw the letter on the fire, where it burned brightly for a few seconds.
Monsieur, you're a very good friend to me.
Now remember, Dantès, if anyone asks about that letter, say you know nothing about it. Don't forget, it's important.
I won't forget, monsieur. Thank you.
Villefort called a police officer to the room and whispered an order to him.
Follow this officer,
he told Dantès, who smiled gratefully at Villefort as he went out. When he was alone, Villefort put his head in his shaking hands.
The letter is gone now, but Dantès read the name and address on the envelope. If anyone learns that my father is still one of Napoleon's allies, I'll lose my job at once,
he thought.
They could even put me to death. But perhaps nobody will find out now.
Dantès was taken to a police cell, where he waited for several hours. Then, to his great surprise, he was taken to the port by four large policemen carrying guns. They pushed him into a small boat, which they started rowing out to sea.
"What's happening?"
asked Dantès.
"Monsieur Villefort promised he would release me."
"We don't know anything about that,"
said one of the men.
"We're just obeying our orders."
"But where are you taking me? Tell me!"
"Haven't you guessed? Look around you."
Dantès lifted his eyes and suddenly saw a frightening black shape right in front of the boat. It was the Château d'If, a castle on a small rocky island. And it was well known to everybody in Marseille as a prison. No prisoner ever left it alive. He cried out in horror.
"My God! The Château d'If! Why are we going there?"
The policeman just smiled and continued rowing.
"But that's a prison for the worst criminals, enemies of France. You can't take me there. I've done nothing wrong."
Just then, the boat touched the rock, and the policeman carried Dantès, who was fighting and shouting wildly, into the castle. Soon, he found himself alone in a dark, silent underground cell. He could not understand what had happened, and he felt that he was going mad. As Villefort was returning to the Saint-Marin's dinner party, he was stopped in the street by a beautiful, dark-haired girl.
"Please, tell me where Edmond Dantès is, monsieur,"
she said, her voice breaking with sadness.
"I can't tell you that. He's a criminal,"
replied Villefort coldly, pushing Mercedes to one side. For a moment, he felt worried about Dantès. To keep himself safe, he had sent an honest young man to prison for life and destroyed any hope of happiness for Edmund and his fiancée. He knew that he had the power to put matters right, but the moment passed and he did nothing. The next day, Villefort travelled to Paris to tell the king that Napoleon was planning to escape from Elba. He hoped the king would be grateful for this information and reward him richly. But he was unlucky. While he was at the palace, news of the emperor's escape was brought to the king. And the king was too busy worrying about his own future to think about rewarding the crown prosecutor. In the next 2 weeks, many Frenchmen hurried to join Napoleon's army as it moved northwards, and finally the king had to leave Paris for a safer country. Napoleon became emperor again. Now, Villefort had to be careful if he wanted to keep his job. People knew that he had spoken against the emperor. René Saint-Marin was no longer the right wife for him, and his plans for a wedding were soon forgotten. And when Monsieur Morel, the owner of the Pharaon, asked him repeatedly about Dantès, he always pretended to be warmly interested in Edmund, but sadly unable to help. He hoped that no one would ever find out about the terrible thing that he had done.